The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
And friends, welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. I have with me today on the line from Jacksonville, Florida, I have Keisha King. And she's my guest today on the program. Keisha has befriended, I guess, several years ago, Brittany Parks, who is now part of our team. And you hear Brittany on some of our programs that we have. But that's how I have been connected with Keisha. So let me just say up front, welcome to my program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And we're on the line today, you in Jacksonville. I'm in the studios here in Orlando. Great to be connected with the technologies that we have that brings your voice right into our console. And it's great to have you here. Brittany is a Black American, a young woman who's involved. I know you're involved politically as well as not only from an interest standpoint in politics, but also in your business, right?
Absolutely, yes. I have a love, a heart for politics, which I never would have thought even possible. But just the way, you know how God is, he has a plan, and a lot of times we're not really sure what that looks like, but mine ended up being in politics. So yes, personally and professionally.
That's an interest that now is not only something that you're involved with your job, but, you know, these are times when I would bet that people who never thought they would be interested in politics have suddenly become that way. And sometimes in a direction that they would not have ever seen themselves becoming interested in because of some of the things that have happened in recent years. And I know that your story and one of the things that really has maybe just sharpened your interest in politics started happening back in 2016. And again, as we said, there was a lot that was going on back then with the general election that obviously saw President Trump become president, but the rise of a lot of tensions in our country. And that probably hit its zenith last year with all the things that were going on in America as a result of the George Floyd situation and just the unrest in general. You know, I find it ironic that in 2008, when President Obama became president, one of the things that happened back then was the declaration that we were going to be more united racially than ever before. And Keisha, I don't know if you would agree with this statement, but in my mind, we have ever since that moment, it would appear to me that we've become more divided than we ever were before. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that. Yes. I do not, it almost seems like the race hustlers, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but people that make a living off of racism.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems as if with the election, the twice elected President Obama, that would mean that the country has really come very far, you know, as opposed to where we were hundreds of years ago. With the election of a Black president. And it was almost, it's almost like that we have to sort of go back in time in order for them to be able to keep up their finances, so to speak, and to create all of this agitation to make America appear to be something that it's just not anymore. We're just not that country anymore. And there are just some people who don't want to accept that and move forward to where most Americans have moved to. We're past that. We're beyond that now. And I just think that some people refuse to allow that to be. And so we have to keep up these shenanigans to keep race at the forefront of every single thing that we do, when that's just not who we are anymore.
When you look at this yourself, and again, you're looking at this thing in a way that I couldn't do, and in the way a lot of our listeners couldn't do, but you're looking at this from the position of being a Black American, and one that I know that there's a lot that has been said, that's a lot that's happened in the last year in America that's caused, I think, some positive discussions about race and a realization and a reckoning that a lot of life, even to this day, has been very difficult for that part of us, that part of the U.S., that part of the United States that is so very critical and so very important. But oftentimes mixed in with the things that are true are things that are not true, are things that are being said that are not factually accurate. And a lot of that has come out with the George Floyd, which brought to a lot of the attention of America this term called Black Lives Matter movement. And when you look at the declared positions of the Black Lives Matter, the BLM movement, it really is not about race at all. It's not even about what a lot of people would think about division or unity at all. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That organization is not meant to bring unity. They have a stated purpose in lifting up some voices rather than others. And if you pay close attention to what they say, it doesn't even seem like it's geared to Black people, because they only care when it's a certain type of Black person. They don't seem to care when it's babies being aborted. They don't seem to care when there's Black on Black crime. Excuse me. They don't seem to care when a Black police officer shoots a Black person. It's only when it's a white person doing something to a Black person. And we're just supposed to automatically assume that it's a race issue. I mean, there will be at times there's no evidence of it was a racist issue, but it always seems to come back to that. We don't have any type of investigation to see, okay, was this person actually a racist? We just assume that because they were white, they're racist. And mm-hmm. I think that is a very dangerous way to be. And we can see that playing out with these diversity and inclusion programs and things like that, where people are looking at one another and saying, oh, if you're white, you're a white supremacist. And if you're Black, you're oppressed. It has evolved into this identifying people just on the basis of their skin color. So in essence, we've gone back in time mm-hmm. to a time where that's what was happening in America, not everywhere, but certainly in the South. And it's mind blowing to see this and to think that people, that Americans today are actually going along with this. It's very disturbing and sad.
It is very sad. And again, the amount of division probably hit an all-time high, not only in the Black community or those that are not feeling that way, but the divisions that happened with the calls for just cities to be burned and all of the statues to be pulled down from American history. And then if you turn around and if anyone has an opinion, and that would not be just white people, I would say, those of us that are Caucasian, as you mentioned, but even those that would be Black, those that would disagree were themselves being called racist. So this is a convoluted problem. And I think it would help our listeners to understand where you've been in this, because from my reading your bio, there was a time that you might have leaned in on some of the discussion and would have believed that yourself. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. So right after the 2016 election, I was having a conversation with a close family member, and we were talking about Black Lives Matter because a lot of the same things were going on. There were riots, not as bad as it is now, but or as bad as it has been in the last couple of months or in 2020,
mm-hmm.
But certainly riots and things like that. And we were having a discussion, and she said, I like Black Lives Matter, but I think that I don't like when I don't see them show up in, you know, when situations for Black on Black crime is happening, when that is very prevalent. And I don't know what it was. I just had this moment. I said, you know, I'm going to go online and see how many unarmed Black men have been killed by the police. Well, when I looked that number up, it was extremely low. I mean, it was such a contrast to see what was going on television and to see the actual FBI data on how many unarmed Black men had been killed by the police. It didn't match the level of frustration and chaos and riots and protests that were going on. You would have thought the number would have been in the thousands. It was in the teens. Barely in the teens. And so I was very confused by this information because I didn't understand why we were behaving this way when this is not an epidemic in our community. Clearly, by the numbers, this was not happening to Black people in scale, or, you know, like where it was just over and over and over and over again. And so that led me to keep researching some of the more common stereotypes that I had heard. And once I started doing a little digging, I found that a lot of the things that we are told just was not true. And it was a real transformational moment. It was a real gut punch because all of my life, you know, I had heard, you know, certain stereotypes and things like that, and none of them were true. And so it caused me to just kind of pull back a little bit and think about all the things that I had been believing. And then ultimately, the real transformational moment came when God spoke to me and he said, your skin color has become an idol in my life.
Mm.
Oh, gosh, I mean, when God said that to me, it shook me to my core. And I know that for your listeners and probably for most people, that simple statement doesn't seem like it would cause such a shaking. But you have to understand, growing up Black in America, for most of us, and I don't want to speak for every single Black person, but for most of us, we've heard some things pretty much all of our lives, that if you're Black, you're going to be hindered with what you can do in life, with your job, with your education. You have to work 10 times harder because you're Black. You are going to be just, there is a negative connotation that comes with being Black. And what that turns into is this pride that comes forth, that you begin to see your entire existence through being Black. And even as a Christian, you're no longer seeing yourself as a Christian and knowing and believing believing with everything in your being that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You start to believe that your total existence is based on you being Black. And so it's a total, it's a mind shift, because when you start seeing yourself through being Black as opposed to being a child of Christ,
mm-hmm.
Those two things cannot coexist together.
Why do you think Keisha, on this, why do you think it is that people your age and even those that would be older than you, I would believe that most of what you've just described would not be the way they grew up. And yet now suddenly, and it's everywhere, it's pervasive in the news media, that this kind of a thing, it's almost as if this kind, it's like a rewriting of history, even recent history, that would make it to be that we have been this kind of divided for their entire life. Now, I know that there are things, like you said, you've heard, but the kind of division that's happened in 2020 forward to now, it was not as prevalent in the previous years.
Right. No, it wasn't. I think that there are several things going on. So because we have moved so forward, we do as a society, I think that there is a want to see more diversity in leadership as far as what people look like, I have tons of opinions on that. It really depends. I don't think we can kind of just lump everything all together, but nevertheless, we, you know, wanting to see more diversity. Well, when we see that, and then we have these one-on-one conversations with people who may have experienced racism or may have experienced some type of feeling that they were being discriminated against, not only is it not always true, but it's not every Black person's experience. And because now we've moved into this thinking where we have to give a voice to every single person's experience, which may or may not be true, or which may or may not be, you know, just because you're Black does not mean that Black person speaks for every other Black person. And
yeah.
So that thinking, it's like, okay, well, this one situation has made me feel this. I heard this one situation from my Black friend, so to speak, and I'm a news person, so that must be how every Black person, that must be how everybody is living, every Black person is living in their life, and that's just not true. So it creates what we see today, that the media and the, you know, the commentators and all of these people in these higher positions and politicians are taking these snippets, these isolated incidents, and saying, okay, well, this is what's happening to Black people as a whole. And it's very unfair. It's very unfair, and it's not true.
Keisha King, my guest on Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
I'm so privileged today to be talking to a young lady, Keisha King. So honored to have you on my program today. You know, we had a lot of programs last summer in 2020 dealing with this, what was now being talked about in new terms, in a new explosive way, with all the things that happened in our country post George Floyd, post Memorial Day weekend, when all of that terrible event happened, and no one is happy about that. But I don't believe any of us could have foreseen in those moments what the next several months were going to be like, what the accusations, the news media has basically propped up a storyline that now has gone so far as to say that systemic racism is and has been existing in America for years and years and years. And it was almost as if any progress that had ever been made post-slavery times was out the window, and things were just literally as bad as they could be. Now, that's kind of like that is a broad brush statement. I am aware of that. But I don't think that's too far off the truth if you are watching the news and kind of gauging what is being said on the news. That is how it was being presented.
Even with the police shooting, in my opinion, and when I look at what happens, like even with George Floyd, with many of these cases that we've seen, these are isolated incidents. The media grabs a hold onto it. They loop it over and over and over again, and it makes you feel like it's happening all the time. Now, these are single isolated incidents, but because we're inundated mm-hmm. with this information all the time, it feels like it's happening all the time when it doesn't. So it's just an inaccurate picture of what's really going on in America.
Many feel that there is this term called the narrative. It's like a pre-described or pre-discussed among the members of the news media, perhaps members of certain political organizations or other social organizations. It's almost like a plan or a scenario has been agreed upon, and everything will be discussed or reported on along that line. And if it fits that narrative, so to speak, then everything will be picked up on, like you said, and will be discussed with this kind of a slant toward that thing that they're describing is pointing to this scenario of America, the state of America. And yet it is not everyone's experience at all. And there's a lot of people who don't believe that at all. Why do you think this general sweeping statement narrative is being discussed the way it is? In your research, did you come up with any maybe conclusions on that?
It's profitable. It's very profitable. I mean, take for instance, Black Lives Matter managed to receive over $90 million in a summer. I mean, businesses who actually create products and innovate, it takes them decades to see that type of money.
Wow.
$90 million in a summer. I mean, that is astonishing. It is quite astonishing. It is profitable. I mean, it gives the news media ratings. It gives these organizations money. There is an incentive. Even the families of these victims, I mean, George Floyd's family received $27 million. I believe Anna Taylor's family received, I think it was $13. I could be mistaken on that, but I believe she had some type of, there are large payments to be had because of the pressure from the media, from these, you know, even corporations now are getting involved. There is a lot, even though it's not faring as well for them as it is for these nonprofits and things like that, but it's profitable.
Mm-hmm.
It is a profitable business.
When you came to this and you're seeing all of this and you're doing the research, and again, your research was that kind of research that basically turned your whole face around, turned your whole position around 180, what started making sense to you as you were doing this? What was that?
So it was the looking back at history and seeing the progress that Black Americans had made in that 100 years after slavery. That 100 years after slavery, there was the Black Renaissance with Harlem and Madam C.J. Walker and Black Wall Street and many other communities, Black communities, that were creating multimillionaires. Now, how did that happen? In a country that is just racist to the core, there is no mm-hmm. upward movement for you. There is no, you know, every white person hates you. Just even in my own family, my great-great-grandfather, he was born a slave. He taught himself how to read. He acquired almost 400 acres of land that my family still lives on today. and he was an entrepreneur. Now, he was a farmer too. So he sold his products to the town, white folks in business in the town. Now, if America is just racist to the core and there is nothing positive for Black people here, how was he able, him and so many others, how were they able to achieve this goal? When I started thinking about these things outside, objectively and outside of my feelings, mm-hmm. and looking at into the facts of the matter, it became abundantly clear that this was the best place for me to be if I wanted to achieve anything in life. And also just that, more so, the realization of God. God spoke to me. He said, am I not bigger than racism? Am I not bigger than white supremacy? He said, on Monday through Saturday, you walk around as if you are so oppressed. And then you go into church on Sunday and you tell me that I can do things, that you're more than a conqueror, and you know, God can move mountains. Well, how come I can do that on Sunday? Mm-hmm. But Monday through Saturday, you can't do anything. And it was just such a loving, a very a loving and fatherly way for God to speak to his daughter and say, you are more than your skin color. Mm. You are more than your skin color. And I think that when more Black Americans stop seeing themselves so limited to skin, the pride that comes with that is destroying our families. It is destroying our communities. It's why we have a Black Lives Matter. I mean, it's insulting. You know, you want all of these other groups of people to go along with your Black Lives Matter. Now, what if someone was to say, okay, well, then White Lives Matter? We certainly didn't like it when people were walking around saying white power and white life and a White Lives Matter type lingo. We didn't like that. So why would we think that that would be the way to communicate anything? You know, so it's just it's something that you have to really dig in and research and set yourself, you know, apart from your feelings and just look at the facts.
Wow. Keisha King is our my guest today, and this is a very important issue. And I would dare say that Americans, one of our great needs we have right now is that we need to come together as a nation again. We have so much right now to lose. And Keisha, I know you feel the same way. We're in a position where a lot more could be lost if we don't grab a hold of this issue and put some truth down in the middle of all of this. There's a lot more sliding to the loss section that we could encounter as a country, and I'm praying we don't. And I would just love to know what, when you are finding out now, your research is pointing you to a different scenario, a different outcome, and you are coming down to see that what Black Lives Matter and other organizations on the mainstream media, what they were talking about was not the truth. What did your family members that you had been talking about, and maybe they were agreeing with that, what was their reaction?
Well, it was not what I expected. So I thought that I would, you know, be able to show them all of this research and all of this information that I'd learned. And I'm like, you know, it's right here in black and white. And I just thought that they would, you know, I thought that their minds would be opened as well. And it would just, you know, we would all just come together and you know, tell other people about what we'd learned. Well, it did not go that way.
Mm.
So I hate to throw my mom under the bus, but she's okay. She'll be all right. She said, well, you drank the Kool-Aid. That was her her initial response was that, I drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah, so it was, and then with my other family members, they just were a little confused because it was, I mean, in all fairness, it was something completely different than what any of us had all had heard. You know, we're not, they don't teach this in school. They don't teach that we, the success of Black Americans in America. We're really taught, we're like, okay, we get slavery, we get Jim Crow, we get a little redlining, and then we got the Civil Rights Act, and that's pretty much it. We don't really get the wonderful stories of like Booker T. Washington and, you know, really what that meant. We don't dive into that history of America. And so it is totally foreign for a Black person to present this information to another Black person, because it's literally, for most of us, we've never, ever heard this. We've never, ever bothered to look up this information. We've never bothered to look at even other countries that have gone through slavery. It's almost like we are experiencing something that no one else in the world has ever experienced. And literally every single continent, every single group of people, their ancestors have gone through slavery at some point, some type of oppression, some type of mass genocide, some type of mass, you know, we all have suffered. You know, there's one thing, trauma, pain, sin knows no, has no respect of person. And so, but for some reason, you know, Black Americans, we think that our only story is struggle. And it's just simply not true. Now, I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist. I'm not saying that there aren't people out there who are bad people. Of course there are. Racism will always exist, just like murder, just like lying, just like as long as we're on this side of heaven, sin will be here. But I am saying that it's not anything that's really talked about when we grow up. And so you hear this for the first time that, you know, actually Black Americans were, you know, we were on a path where we were really doing incredible things with zero rights. I mean, that is quite phenomenal. It speaks to the will of humanity to succeed and to overcome. And that is not celebrated. Instead, what is celebrated or what is spoken about is the trauma, the negativity. And it's just such an unfair version of history, Black American history. It's just we miss so much. I mean, I don't know anyone who can feel inspired to do more if all you ever hear is negativity about yourself.
I guess I'm so surprised to hear that fact, that from your perspective and your family's perspective, that that would be the experience, that that's all they ever heard. And yet I grew up in a culture in Indiana, and at our school we taught, and you know, for years there was Black History Month, and I loved that. And I thought, you know, I studied George Washington Carver, and I remember thinking about people like you said, Booker T. Washington and all of this. And I'm just thinking how marvelous that God has brought us together. And, you know, I'm feeling pretty silly then if I find out then that, no, what my understanding would be in terms of the progress that we'd made post all of those horrible years of slavery, that we're really right there still to this day. And so much so that the heroes of this nation are now no longer considered to be heroes. That's a really sad state for America right now. And I don't know what it's going to take. Honestly, I don't know what it's going to take. And I would love to hear what you feel the role that needs to be made by your peers, by those that are that your age group, your friends that are black. What are they going to stand up and say? What are they going to stand up and do? And how do you feel we can get back on the right track as a nation?
So I just want to say that, so we are, many times in black communities, so we know about like Martin Luther King, Booker T. White. We've heard, we know the story. We know some of it, but it's always the negative that is impressed upon us more than the positive. And so that's why I think we come out of it. It's not, we do hear about these stories in school and growing up and in our homes, you know, with our parents and things, but more so, what is more pressed upon you is the burden of being black. That is what's more so impressed upon you. So I just want to clarify a little bit. I don't mean to say that we never learn any positive things. We do, but we don't. Those are not the things that we hear on a regular basis, and those aren't typically the things that stick in our minds.
I'll be back with Keisha in a moment. Keisha King, my guest on Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Back again here with Keisha King on the line. Keisha, what can be done, especially in the black community, with all that we're talking about?
What we can do is to begin to educate ourselves on the history and start to teach other people, other black people, about the positive things that we've been able to do in America. And honestly, I don't think we would have been able to do them in any other place. Talking about more of what we're proud of, what the amazing accomplishments, the things that we've been able to do to inspire younger people that they can do, that they can be anything, and that their skin color does not hold them back. So we have to not be afraid to speak the truth. We cannot be afraid to speak the truth and to be a light in this darkness and to be uplifting and to be to show these younger people and even to my peers that no, you can do anything you want in America. And literally, this is the only place for you to have as much success as you have or can get. And I just think it is a privilege to be born here. It is certainly a privilege and a blessing to be born in America. And I think that's what we need to remind our peers and our children and, you know, people coming up after us is that this is something to be proud of. Yes, we've had a tumultuous history, but what country has it? I mean, yes, we did participate in slavery once in America. However, we were the second country, I believe, to eradicate it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that is an incredible feat for a nation. And we don't celebrate our accomplishments enough, in my opinion. And I think that's where we need to turn. We need to turn to the positive things and turn to the inspirational things.
I love it. And you're doing that. You're standing up, and at times, even by your own admission, you're standing up alone, or it must feel alone with this message, because you're fighting not only against what is the popular, if you will, from the news media standpoint, the popular opinion or the popular position that would say that Black Lives Matter's message is the right message. You're, in fact, saying, as a Black American, you're standing up and saying it's the wrong message. It's not a complete message. In fact, it can be, in some instances, the opposite message that we should be hearing. Is that not right?
That is 100% true. It is not a good message. It is not good for us to be tearing up for them, because I'm going to separate myself from that. It is not good for people that participate in Black Lives Matter to go and tear up other people's businesses, especially a lot of times in Black communities. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are taking away jobs. You're taking away their livelihood, you know, them being able to provide for their families because you have a beef about something. And it's just, there is never negativity, focusing on anything negative. And I don't care what type of situation you look at. When you focus on the negative, you're going to get more negative. And so we have to turn our focus to the positive things. And Black Lives Matter just does not, I don't see where they represent anything positive. I mean, they literally get their name and they stand on the backs of these people who are dead or abused or dying. And that's how they get their fame. So they literally stand on pain to promote their message.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just think it's a really not good way, a sick way, honestly, to promote a message. I don't see how anything good can come out of that type of messaging.
It's going to be interesting to see how our nation mitigates this current state that we're in right now, because again, I'm sure you found this to be the case. This thing is being pushed not only by our political leaders, but it's also being pushed by the news media that reports all of these stories. And it would sound like you would agree with the many detractors and the people who are critical of the news media as being a major proponent for this narrative, this false narrative, a false message that does not reflect the news. It's actually a way of bending an opinion to try to make it look like it's the news. And I tell you what, you're fighting not only untruth in an organization like Black Lives Matter, but also the news media.
Oh, absolutely. I wrote an article in the Western Journal, and it was about how the media psychologically abuses the Black community because of they have a huge microphone, huge. And so when they play these stories on loop, and it's like what I was saying before, when you see this over and over and over and over and over again, it does feel like that it's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. You got it on the news, you got it on social media, everybody's talking about it. I mean, there are 40 million Black people in America, and we have they cherry pick these one or two, three, you know, a handful of instances that show this negative information, and they promote it as if this is some epidemic. There's 40 plus million Black people. These isolated incidents does not reflect the whole of Black America. And it is, to me, the best way I can describe it is like a psychological abuser. And I just find it just disgusting. I mean, just to be flat out with, I think it is one of the worst things that is being done to Black Americans today. I honestly do.
Now, I know you're coming at this from the point of faith in God and being a believer yourself, and that would automatically just indicate that you are a person of faith and a person who believes that with, like you said earlier, with the Lord, all things are possible. And so you're adding this need into that equation and saying, because of God, it is possible for America to get out of this, and we can, and I know that's got to be the message you're standing up and telling your friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is what got us through slavery, and it is the only thing that will get us through not only this, but any negativity or any hardships that we face in life, because there is truth and then there is the truth. And when you stand on the word of God, there is nothing that can accurately give the diagnosis of the heart, but also give the ultimate prescription. And so it is the ultimate prescription to life, Christ. There is no, no matter how the void that we're trying to fill in our life, there is nothing like the love of Christ. There is nothing like surrendering your life to the life giver. And so, yes, I 100% know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the one and true answer.
You're active, and that you've got such a love for Jesus and a really a love for this country. And that's inspiring, and you want to help make a difference. And that's, I just commend you for that, Keisha.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're a person that is not afraid to stand alone. We've heard that already. When you look back at this issue of our whole country right now, which is still, sadly, a divided country from the standpoint of politics, we've got people in now a new administration that they're pushing things that are just really right off the table. I mean, it's being pushed right onto the floor. We've got stuff that's happening faster than broken dishes right now happening in our country. And what can we do? What would you say are first steps that we can do to help solve this problem of, first of all, racial tension, and secondly, some of the different directions that are going on politically? What are first steps that we can do?
Well, I think some of the first things that we can do is, when we are confronted with these things in our personal lives, to not be afraid to push back on it, not be afraid to counter some of what these people are saying. Like, I know there are people in corporations and who just going about their everyday lives, and these corporations are making them take these insane diversity and inclusion trainings and things like that. I think they should push back. I think they should stand up for it. That is something that we can do on our personal level. And then more publicly, the leaders, the leaders that are already out there who speak against us, to keep speaking. Lend your voice to as many areas as you can to come against this narrative, because, like you said earlier, they're trying to paint a picture that is just not true. Mm-hmm. And if the more of us that speak up, on every level, whether it's your 9-to-5, whether it's in your church, this is going on in church too. It's everywhere. I mean, we have got to stand up, and especially for believers, Jesus told us to occupy until he came back. Mm-hmm. And that means handle his business. And so his business is the gospel. His business is the truth. And when we are silent, we are not standing up as we should. And prayer is good. And I mean, obviously, prayer is huge. Prayer is big.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to be vocal in those moments where we're confronted with something, and we can't. This is not the time to just sort of, turn your head and, sort of whimper away. This is the time to say, "No, I'm sorry. that is not who I am. I don't believe in this. This is, you know, this is not right. Because a lot of times those diversity and inclusion, if we don't say anything, it's going to further tear us apart. So mm-hmm. it behooves us to jump in there and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is wrong. A lot of times it's just flat out racism, you know, so we have to confront it. If we're going to talk about confronting racism, we have to confront it on that side too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is the best thing that we can do, is to not be silent, not be silent. Because when we're silent, we give, it's almost an agreement.
Mm.
If you're silent, you are allowing this to continue. So that is what I sincerely believe that we have to do, is be vocal, open up our mouths and say something.
Well, you've done that today, and I really appreciate it, Keisha. And we'll be praying for you as we pray for our country. I know that God mm-hmm. is able, and he loves his people, and his people are in many cases hurting right now all across the world mm-hmm. and even here in this country. And I believe our freedoms, as you believe, are worth standing up for, and mm-hmm. where needed be, worth fighting for, and willing to stand alone for those things, as you Absolutely. Have done and continue to do. Keisha King, thank you for joining me today on the program and being my guest
thank
here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a true honor. Thank you so much.
Well, I look forward to following what God is doing. And when you're in Orlando, you got to drop by sometime and see our studio and join me for another program. All right?
I sure will. Thank you so much.
All right. And friends, thanks for being with me as well today on the program. We'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.